So shall we call to order the meeting of the River Grove Water District at 17661 Pilkington Road. It is Monday, December 18th at 4:30. Public comment?
Not here.
Okay, we have no public comment. The regular board meeting, we need to approve minutes of that for October, a regular board meeting for November, and an executive session for September, or for November 20th.
Okay.
So is there a motion?
I can move to approve all three sets of minutes.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we approve all minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. General Manager's report.
I'll make this quick. We're still waiting from Business Oregon for our official invitation to put forth our project. I included in your board package, we heard back from the city of Lake Oswego, and at this time they cannot partner with us for any type of a walkway on Child's Road. Thought their letter was very
nice.
Fine.
Just put them on notice.
Yeah, very detailed.
I didn't expect they'd be able to do anything.
Yeah. We're working on our service line inventory. As I told you, the EPA is...
Yeah, put that in the newsletter.
Mm-hmm, the EPA is driving that, and we've actually done really well. We've identified 537 connections, so we're 38% done.
Any surprises?
Yeah. No. And we've been able to identify every customer service line so that we don't have any unknown right now.
Good.
And you don't want to have unknowns because the EPA is going to come back and tell you within 2 years you're going to have to identify those unknowns. Mm-hmm. You just can't leave that out there.
Will it be EPA or will they work through DEQ?
EPA. And the EPA is also writing right now, though this has not been approved, but expect it in 2024, that those of us that have iron, they're going to try to push through a 10-year replacement. Mm-hmm. And I've
for galvanized pipe?
Mm-hmm, to get rid of the lead. So we'll have 10 years in which to do that. But count on that. Count as that being something that's really in our future.
Any estimate on how much iron we have?
No, not yet. We're identifying customer service lines because our lines are going to be easy. We're just going to get the as-builds and go out.
Yeah.
So the most difficult was the customer service line, and I wanted to get that done first.
Uh-huh.
And Jason's done a wonderful job on that. So, when we did our numbers and we're coming back, and when we do the inventory, we come back, we've got an Excel spreadsheet. We're using the format that OHA recommended, exactly what they want we're giving them. And when we put in our data and everything, for us to be already 38% complete, I was pretty impressed with that because the guys had only been out there the last 5 weeks. There's no surprises on the production and consumption, so I'm going to gloss over that. The backflow testing program, as you see, we have 570 connections identified, 570 connections passed with a 100% compliance. And I do want to do a shout out to the water operators and to Chin. I don't think the board knows that there's over 2,500 public utilities in the state of Oregon. Out of that, maybe from the data that I've been able to ascertain from OHA, 10% of those type of water districts have a total compliance in that either they've passed or failed, and less than 5% have 100% pass rates. And so I credit that to Chin. Mm-hmm. She did a wonderful job with the Excel spreadsheet, tracking everything, following up with customers that didn't pass, Jason as well, and Daniel. So, hats off to them. They did an outstanding job.
Sure.
So the customer assistance request, we did have an emergency call out Friday night, so of course that's not reflected on here since I had already distributed the board package. We had one on Dawn, and I responded, and it ended up being a service line galvanized that had failed on the customer side. So They ended up spending the weekend at a hotel, and they're going to have that fixed this week. The December newsletter went out, and as you know, as you've read it, that I tailored it to the lead survey that's going on so customers will know what to expect when they see the water operators out in the district. And then ACH payments. And I think that's very critical, the ACH payments, because there's still so many customers that don't understand how the ACH payments work. And we get a lot of complaints when their credit cards are expired. They assume that we're able to grab that data in advance and notify them, hey, your credit card's going to expire, you know, the end of December. And so I thought it was very important to actually write how the process is, because we don't have that capability. No. And I don't know any public utility does. And I'm always told when I'm on the phone with the customers, well, so-and-so notifies us. Well, I'm like, if someone does, please let me know so I can reach out to that, you know, utility and find out how they are. Because, and do I think that that's 100% accurate? No, I don't, because ACH works the same. It works the same for any business and company. It, that number is transposed into what's called a token ID, and it's for your safety, their safety, and for our safety. And there's no way I can glean even a CCV number, let alone an expiration date or even a card number. So we don't have that capability. So that's why I did a little bit more than normal on this subject. And they need to decide if that option is right for them. So we already set our suspense date, as always, for our backflow testing for 2024. And that's going to be September 30th. And other than the water humor, which I thought was humorous.
Very clever. So, Janine, anytime after January 1, we can get our services tested for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I've shut mine off for the year. I always
You get it tested before the irrigation season. I love when people get it tested in January, February, and March. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. It works well for us. Were there any questions on the finances? The only comment I had was, again, updating the board that we now have about 90% of all of our vendors on ACH. And my goal is for the end of January. So I think the treasurer and the board chair only signed 6 checks for this month.
I did want to know about the Ferguson company relationship.
Yep, that's coming up.
Okay.
Yep, that's, I'm sorry, Commissioner Pratt, that is coming up.
That's under new business.
Yep. Yeah, it'll be discussed. So was there any questions on the finances for it? Any questions on that? Then that completes my general manager's report.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't look at it, that part. What was our leakage loss for this last year?
We were pretty consistent. Let me go to it quickly. We were pretty consistent with what we were last December. So we were at 6% and not less than 1% per service connection. So last December we were 4.6. And what do I attribute it to? Other than I think contractors using our hydrants without coming in to get the meter. Again, I don't think there's any big leak out there, but I will start looking in that direction in March. But I want to see what the numbers show for February and see where we're at. But we're pretty consistent if you look at how much we're using and the consumption. And I'm glad to see that it's leveling off. And again, it's always hard to catch those anomalies. You know, we're out there, but I highly suspect the fire hydrant on tomorrow was used, but can I prove it? No. So that little bit of stuff adds up.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
But you're convinced that the meters at the wells are working right now?
No, I'm not. And I talked to the board about that. I believe well 2 and well 3 are accurate, and well 1, I want to get it tested. And when we have $8,000 to throw, that'll be something that we'll do. And I'll get with RH2, because the formula for coming up with these numbers are the same for wells 2 and 3, and well 1, because we don't think it's accurate, we do a different type of formula to get our known unaccounted numbers, and that's something that we'll probably do in the spring, because the meter that's on there aren't the most accurate meters.
Right.
And so that needs to actually be tested. And it's something that that I've talked with the water operators since 2022. And since we've had a good year and not had, knock on wood, any type of main breaks right now, there are some funds in the coffer that I think would bode well if we spent the $8,000 and got it tested.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but we could be losing money.
Right.
You know, on the other hand.
We're pretty.
Mm-hmm. And then, and hope, you know, having that accuracy, it's ridiculous not to do it.
Yep.
It's like saying, I don't want to.
Well, how old is the meter?
Invest in accuracy.
At the well.
It was just replaced back last summer.
Oh.
But you have the old meter still in there, and any friction that you have going against it. And Control Systems Northwest thought that it was accurate. I'm going off a previous water operator that we had that had considerable meter knowledge. And so I don't know. I'm on the fence. I'm not going to tell you that it's that I believe it's inaccurate, and I'm not going to tell you that it's accurate. But I think with our budget and being in line with our budget, I think now is the time this spring to spend the $8,000 to $10,000 and let's get it tested.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at on that.
How long does it take to do the test?
Oh, like an hour.
Oh, so it's not going to be a big shut off issue.
No. About an hour, maybe two.
But you should do it a couple of times, mm-hmm. and then at the average.
And I probably will have Control Systems Northwest, since they're our contractor for our SCADA. I probably will have them, hire them to do the test.
Uh-huh.
They've done a wonderful job with SCADA, and, you know, they've, because your SCADA program, basically, no buts about it. It's as good as your integrator. And they have a really young, sharp integrator. SCADA's the best it's been since I've worked for the district. And even if they didn't do anything in the next 5 years, I feel comfortable working with this SCADA. So eventually, you know, we're going to replace SCADA. We have to, and it's going to be costly. But the integration they've done, the corrections they've done, I think SCADA's the best, again, performance that it's been since I've been in this district.
How much do you think it would be to replace it?
$400,000.
Mm-hmm. That's only based on those numbers now. It could be more later.
Correct.
On. Almost certainly will be.
But you have to.
The trend on the cost of the electronics is coming down.
Oh.
So, but of course, the labor is going up. So,
yeah.
And that number may not be too bad for a while.
Right. But you have to see what's your bonus. Is it? And when, you know, the operators and finance come to me and they want, it's like, give me your wants and then give me your needs, because your needs are going to outweigh your wants. We just don't have a bucket of money. And so I do. If they didn't change another thing on SCADA, I would feel comfortable with that SCADA easily for the next 5 years. I log in. I feel confident. There's not alarms going off. The data that I'm reading, that Jason reads, it makes sense to us. They have a young integrator. I don't know. I don't think he's quite over 30, and he's just fabulous. Can't, you know, say enough about him. His name's Alex, and he's phenomenal. He's very IT savvy.
You've got to be in that business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for being so young, he's wonderful. Okay.
Okay, and nothing else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Water service ordinance.
Oh, I'm sorry. Janine, before we move on, with the vacancy you have now, how long would it take you to get it filled, do you think?
I have no idea. I've put out postings on Oregon Association of Water Utilities and just did that on Friday. So today being Monday and being the holidays, I don't expect to have any any applications.
Okay.
There was one a while back that you had talked about. I wonder if he's still available.
I did. I reached out.
Oh,
I reached
okay.
out to my list okay. last Friday.
He's not. Okay.
And I think that moving forward, I want certification. I want certified operators.
Yeah, it's important.
Yes.
Okay. On the water service ordinance, there's not much to be done with just three of us. I want to see everybody involved in it.
You can approve it.
We can?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right.
It can always, as I told Grant, it's a dynamic document. You can bring it up. You can reopen it anytime you need to.
Dandy. So, is there a motion to approve Water Service Ordinance Number 23-01?
Yes, I approve. I
second it.
And there is a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
It is unanimous. I vote aye as well.
And then, Chair Roth, if I could interject, remember this won't become effective. I have 10 days in order to get it up to the city, and then it becomes effective in January.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
But the clock is ticking now.
Yes, because you formally have adopted it.
Good.
Commissioner Howell's Board Policy Notebook edition will be postponed since he is not here. The performance review, I think, also needs to be postponed.
Is it possible to have a special meeting just to consider that subject? Because it could be an executive session, but I think you want it to be open. It's totally up to you, Janine. But not wait till the regular for another month.
Well, we have a quorum, so is there a reason why we don't want to do it tonight?
Other than the fact that I didn't bring my paperwork.
Oh, okay. Alrighty. Alrighty.
Yeah, you're producing a matrix or a table.
Yeah, I've got it.
Well, I'd strongly encourage you to poll the board and let's have a special meeting, get that done.
I think that's a good idea.
It would constitute a special meeting. We need to be careful with
it's not an emergency.
Yeah, it's not an emergency and it's not a special meeting. So it'll be tabled if that's
just
what the board wants.
Additional meeting.
Because our January board meeting is not until the 22nd of January.
Yeah.
I think we could make this happen the first week in January.
I would table it until the January board meeting. I wouldn't do anything that arouses any type of, what is the driving factor now to have a special meeting?
The fact that it's been lingering so long.
Well, I think with the piling on of the holiday issues, it's better to wait until we have a regular board meeting, and that highly likely the other two members will be back by that time.
I would hope they're back. So the question is, do you want to have an additional meeting or do you want to wait until the January meeting?
What is easiest for you?
The January meeting.
Okay.
Not to have another meeting.
All right. Then I prefer then the January meeting.
Larry?
I'm not happy about this.
Yeah.
This has been hanging fire for months now.
It's been hanging for almost a year.
As a matter of fact, it's been hanging for almost a year. It's an embarrassment.
Yes, it is.
But I defer to Janine on this.
Thank you, Commissioner McGraw. I appreciate it. I would prefer January.
Okay.
We just don't know where we're at with Manning. And my plate runneth over. With Manning. Manning.
Staff.
Staff.
Oh, staffing.
Mm-hmm. And my plate runneth over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. We'll postpone it then for the January 24 meeting. So, on to new business. Conflict of interest Has everyone read that?
Yeah.
Would you like to say anything, Janine?
Right. So in November, I notified the board by letter. All commissioners had a letter hand-delivered to their homes that I have a relative now employed at Ferguson at a senior management level.
But not in this vicinity?
Not in this vicinity, in their headquarters in Virginia, Newport News, Virginia. So in all of the ethics training that I've attended, I immediately realized that that was going to be a problem. So I notified the board as I'm required to. I submitted for a staff advisory, and the staff advisory came back.
Who'd you submit that to? SDAO?
Mm, of course, no, the Government Ethics Commission.
Oh.
It's directly to them. And they came back and said it's not going to be because of the distance and because of the position. Well, they didn't understand the position, and I knew right away that the staff advisory was wrong. So I emailed them back, and I said, thank you for, taking the time, but your advisory is wrong because of the position that my oldest daughter holds is one that creates a conflict. And so they sent me one back saying, thank you very much. They did that. They didn't catch that out of the letter that I sent, and that they agreed is in fact a conflict of interest. When you serve on a board, if you're a director or higher and her position is higher, that creates the conflict of interest because she's paid by Ferguson. She gets her benefits through Ferguson. So any business that we generate through Ferguson indirectly can affect her. Is it remote? Yes, but it's still a conflict of interest. And so they agreed.
So what's the workaround then?
So exactly this. So it's not that we can't buy from Ferguson, and mainly we get our fire hydrants. It's that I have to recuse myself and not be involved in any purchases for Ferguson. The senior water operator, when he compares prices, which it's not anything different that we already do. When he needs to purchase prices, or the junior water operator, I always tell him, get me three bids. And we usually go to Core and Main, we go to Ferguson, and we go to
Consolidated.
Well, we have used Consolidated. I can't think right now. And then we always look. The problem is that hands down, Ferguson has the best prices on fire hydrants. So since I've been employed here, we've always get our fire hydrants through Ferguson because, I mean, they're a good product, and they're the Watrous, which we use. So when I was talking with the Ethics Commission, it's like the district shouldn't be penalized because I have, a relative that works there. And, I'm certainly not going to apologize for my daughter's success. Mm-hmm. She has a right to work wherever she wants to work. So taking me totally out of the picture, the water operator will still get the three bids. He'll look at it, and that's what you all are authorizing, that letting the senior water operator have the legal authority to purchase the supplies and materials through Ferguson with me 100% recusing myself.
Mm-hmm. I think that makes perfect sense.
And it's the best legal way to do it, unless the board decided we just won't do business with Ferguson. But I think we're cutting off our nose to spite our face because they're very, very, very competitive.
Nobody
they're
else
the leader.
Sells Watrous hydrants around here?
Watrous, they do it the best price.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Consolidated is
a
little bit more core.
Alabama.
I know, but it's the markup. Yeah. And the different depths we have here in our district because of rocks. I mean, gosh, you put a shovel in the ground and you hit rock. And then our adapters. A lot of like Core and Main, they don't sell the AWWA adapters that we use from our 3/4 inch mm-hmm. to our inch. And it's a shame. So to help the district, I don't think we cut Ferguson off. I think that we continue to use Ferguson if, in fact, the three bids show Ferguson is the most competitive, but I would stay out of the process. I would not be involved at all. I wouldn't even look at the bids.
It's pretty hard to argue you have much of an influence. And
right.
Really,
Yeah, for the one or two hydrants a year that we buy.
Yeah. And it would not have been an issue if she was lower than a director, but she's not. She's a vice president. So it's clearly a conflict of interest.
Pretty good position for her.
She is. She's only 39 years old.
Does she have an MBA?
she's very proud of my daughter. Very proud.
As well you should be.
Yeah.
I appreciate your taking, and number one, evaluating and revealing the connection. Mm-hmm. I do think it's pretty remote, but
right.
Since we know the good reputation of their product, it's important for us to be able to evaluate them as a potential.
Yeah, and who would have ever thought Ferguson and River Grove? I mean, because this was never on my radar, and I'm sure she never thought of it and applying, and go figure, fate.
Well, in that case, does anyone have any further interest in discussing what was happening with the conflict of interest matter? We just need to approve the resolution.
I think we meet the intent of the law.
Yes.
By discussion, evaluation, public meeting, etc. And so what we've done is prudent and ethical.
Would someone like to make a motion to approve?
I move that we be able to entertain all potential businesses in our purchasing of equipment and services, including Ferguson.
So what is the motion then?
The motion needs to be to approve 2023-05 conflict of interest relative of general manager employment at Ferguson Enterprises.
Okay. Sure, you want to move? You want to move, make the motion?
She did, kind of.
Okay, then I'll second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I would vote aye, so that is unanimous, and we do have a quorum. Customer shutoff letter on McEwen. That is our next issue.
So I briefed the board last month that we had our shutoffs in November, and this customer was water, unfortunately, was shut off, and she wanted to have her penalties waived. And in general operating procedures of what we do, she wasn't authorized that. So you'll see her letter to the board, and I did tell her to reach out and to talk to the board, to do a letter to the board so the board can consider. So in the board making their decision, I attached the original letter that she was notified on November 13th that her credit card was declined. And here's the door tag in which the notification letter was delivered. And then you'll see that 2 days before shutoffs, because we shut off on November the 29th, Wednesday.
A couple weeks later.
Our finance specialist reached out on that Monday saying, we still haven't received your payment. We got no response. I don't write down except on the master list, also then do a phone call on Tuesday, which I called this individual as well, left a phone message, you know, we're shutting off tomorrow. We have not heard from you. So on Wednesday at 7:30 on the dot, the water operators are dispatched for shutoff. So at 7:30, water operator was dispatched and this customer's water was shut off. I received a call, and you'll look, that's what the call log is, at 7:59 that morning. I did not receive a call any earlier, And this comes straight from our contractor, Sound Telecom. So I received a call at 7:59 in the morning, you know, and took the complaint. And then you'll also see, not only does Sound Telecom take our messages and send it to the RGWD box, they also info me as the general manager. So when the call came in at 7:59 and was recorded, you'll also see my then subsequent notification at 8 a.m. So I spoke with the customer, spent 33 minutes on the phone with the customer, and went over all the fees.
What's the deal?
One mistake on the letter, and I'm sure it wasn't purpose, that's why I made you all a transaction fee, is that if you go back to the letter, there was a $25 RCC declination fee. There was a $15 penalty, and there was the $20 adjustment and the $50 dispatch. There was no $50 adjustment. I don't know where that fee is coming in, and that's why I printed this for you. There was not, that's in your board package, there was not another $50 fee. And so in the 33-minute phone call I had, I originally had offered, because we always try to make an offer and work with our customers, that if the individual could go 12 payments, and remember, we only bill six times a year, and this is our standard offer. If you can go 12 consecutive payments without a late fee and pay on time, we will credit your account $20. That wasn't acceptable. I then offered a payment plan. I said, I understand what this is, so we can split it in half. We can make it where you're paying 50, 60. You tell me, like I do with all of our customers, what can you afford? If you tell me it's only $20 a month, we'll put you on a payment plan for $20 with the understanding that when your December bill comes, you do have to pay your December bill and then $20 of your bill that's in arrears. That wasn't accepted. And so I had the phone ringing. And the water operators were in here the full time I was talking to all these customers because they were ready to pay. And so I said, ma'am, I said, do you want time to think about it? I've given you two options. I said, but I need to go. The phone's ringing and there's other people, water shut off, that they want to pay. They want their water back on. And so long story short, no. So stayed on the phone 33 minutes and then finally took the credit card information that she provided. And so because I felt, you know, bad, because, you know, it's terrible, I voluntarily did an adjustment because of the credit card balance she told me she had, that I think she said only $150 would be accepted, so that she owed more than that. I said, fine, I'll run it for $150, and then we will courtesy adjust and forgive anything over the $150. So you'll see on here that she received a credit of $31.05. And I ran her credit card exactly what I told her. Then this was copied, printed, and the receipt was taken to her house that afternoon when her water was turned back on. Because we turn water on based on who pays. So if someone pays first, they get the water first. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so... So in her letter, it's not so much that she was mad like at the district, it's that the programs that she thinks we should have. So then I provided this in your board package. I went around and Chin, we split up. We each called six different water districts to see what they do, what they charge. And if you look at that, River Grove is very much comparable with other water districts. In fact, I couldn't believe some water districts actually do a turn-on fee. So not only do they come out and shut your water for $50, if you want it back on after you pay, you're going to pay anywhere from $25 to $30 to $40. And I don't agree with that. I'm just like, holy shmoly. But I wanted the board, so when you make a decision on how you want me to respond to this, you see how we measure against other water districts. And we're actually very in the middle.
Can I borrow that?
Absolutely.
I left my folder at home.
So this is the blue one, Commissioner Patterson, that's in your pot, in your packet. It's a district fee. Chair Rolf, would you like me to run you a copy?
No, I've got it right here.
Yep. Right there. So I think the River Grove Water District is... Yeah, we're very...
You're right in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely we are.
Then there's... I don't see any justification for going... You know, I'd be curious what the City of Portland does. I imagine they... they have a turnaround.
Yeah, I don't... When I'm looking for things and comparing River Grove, I never go to Portland or Hillsboro. They're just too big. And it wouldn't be a fair comparison for us. I try to do districts.
Well, it sounds like you're really trying to work well with...
I did.
Special circumstances.
I really did. Yeah. And then we had another, one that was shut off. And so, you know, I did the same thing, tried to give a credit. And then normally when we send their receipt back and we deliver, because we hand deliver these as well, I usually stick a district flashlight or the Leatherman. Mm-hmm. As a little token, like a little, I know it's not much, but at least it's some, little consideration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there, did she have any explanation for why she didn't respond to your letter?
No, well, she addressed to you all. She said that she was confused when her original credit card was declined, and she did fill out a new credit card form for us to use in the future, and she thought that would be applied. And so, again, this is why I took a lot of time on the newsletter explaining about reoccurring credit card. When you're up for reoccurring credit card and your card is declined, we don't go back in and run that card. It's deleted. The system deletes it. And it's for their benefit that next month or two, in 60 days, that card's not charged again. So it automatically deletes it. It says, oop, this card's not good. Boom, it deletes it out of our system. So when people then come in back and say, oh, well, I had fraud or it was my fault. The credit card declined, whatever. When they fill one out, that's for the next recurring credit card payment. So the next recurring credit card payment isn't going to be until January 10th to cover December billing. And so do I think she honestly got confused? Yes, I do. But then again, that's why we contacted her on Monday.
Yeah.
And I personally contacted her on Tuesday, and she did say she got the email and my phone call. And I said, why did you not respond then? I also had a case.
What did she say to that question?
Nothing. Nothing, total silence.
Is this person of a certain age, or is this?
I can't tell that over the phone.
Well, if she's got elementary school kids.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But we had another incident, and it was an older couple, and their card got declined, and the woman was so upset. And I understand that because, generally like our age group and stuff, we're used to not having bills declined and stuff, mm-hmm. our cards declined. Mm-hmm. And she was embarrassed and understood that. And so I waived, the late fee on that. And so I said, when you have your new credit card, let me put it in. So I had several conversations, and one conversation, her husband was in the background and said, I've got my credit card and I'm going to put it in. And so she's like, my husband wants to put it in. And I could hear him. They were in the same room together. Mm-hmm. And I said, remember, ma'am, I said, you really want the district to put it in, because then if we make a mistake, that's on us. And if that card's declined because we put the wrong number in, or we put your wrong banking account or routing number, then you don't get any fees. We absorb that because it's our mistake. And I heard him in the background. She must have me on speaker. And he's like, I'm perfectly capable of putting my credit card in. So I said, okay, well, you all have a nice day. We can help. Call me back. So then on Tuesday, same thing. I'm going through the list, and there they are. And so I call, and he answers the phone. And I say, hi, Mr. So-and-so. This is Janine. And I said, I'm going through the shutoff. And I said, I just want to remind you, tomorrow's shutoff. And I see that, there's no payment yet for you. I put that card in, blah, blah, blah. And And he said, I told you to do that. And so I said, no, Mr. So-and-so, remember, I talked to your wife and you were in the background. And you said you didn't want me to touch your car to put your information in. I said, so something must have been fat fingered because it's your bill is still out there. I said, I am more than happy to put it in for you right now. So very begrudgingly, he goes, all right, here's my card. And I put it in, processed it, boom, it took.
Yeah.
So, you know.
People can be funny sometimes.
Well, yeah, and especially well, it is embarrassing.
Thank you for your incredible patience.
Well, but it is, I mean, our age, even my own, you know, 63, and parents would smack me if I ever had some decline or yeah. not or be late. And so you can, and you can understand in dealing with the older, you know, customers that they are embarrassed by that. And that's why I tell people all the way, ACH is the way to go. If you've got a stable bank account, always go ACH. There's hardly any fees and it doesn't expire. And really, how many of us really look at our credit card on when it's expiring?
I do.
Most of the time we wait for it to come in the bank, the mail, and here's your new credit card. And you're like, oh God, I forgot that's expiring at the end of the month.
So do you have to go back to all the people you have ACH with and change your numbers?
For?
When you have a credit card that's expiring.
Yes. Yes, oh. So you'll see, I can show you after the meeting, we get a declination. Koozie prints it out. And normally, we're a small district. Maybe sometimes there's 10 to 20. Uh-huh. But yes, so now you're faced with, and this is just credit card declination. This isn't bank accounts that are NSF funds or the wrong routing number or they closed an account or for whatever reason and didn't let us know. I'm just talking credit card. Yeah, so the system erases the cards. We reach out to them. We do the letter saying, as you see, your credit card was declined. Here's a form if you want to re-up with us. But for right now, we need to get this paid. And so there's a lot of work. And so when you look at this on what they charge for their return check fee, you know, like Clackamas is $35. Did you see some of these $35? Mm-hmm. And one thing I did want to show the board, I thought Rockwood was very interesting. Did you see their amount for 32.40? So what they do, and it's smart, and I was actually thinking about this. I said,
what,
I'm gonna
what is their amount?
32.47. And then look, their shutoff fee is 30.40. I said, why is that so odd? And she goes, because we don't want to change it every year. So what we have built into our rates is that if the board votes to increase water rates by 3%, all their fees get increased by 3%.
Well, that's a great idea.
Isn't it? And I said, oh my gosh, I said, I'm going to, you know, mention that to the board. Yeah. And I said, we're probably going to steal that from you.
I think that's a good practice.
Isn't it? Yeah. So that's why it's a weird amount.
More consistent.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
I know, but
I've
that's why.
I've never heard anybody do that before.
And Tualatin Valley does the same thing. That's why they're an odd at 37 return check and 105 to shut off. $105 to go and shut off water.
That's TVWD?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what I would imagine the board would want me to do is in response to her, and then Chair Roth, if you're going to sign the letter, is these are the agencies that can help because we did considerable research on what agencies could help struggling customers with their utilities.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's really the core of what she needed.
That's very generous.
Mm-hmm. And I can tailor the letter such as that and then have that for you to sign.
Okay.
But I did reach out to her as well to let her know it's going to be heard at the board meeting and didn't get any response on that. But in case she wanted to attend or phone or something.
Right. Okay, yeah, I would be happy to sign that.
Okay. If that's what the board wants me to do.
Yes.
Let's close the book on that and move on.
Yep. Employee pay scale, cost of living increase.
Okay, so our pay scale remained the same. There's no changes in it. The board approved that at the last December 2022 meeting. So I think we're right in line, still where we need to be. The cost of living, I'm recommending that the employees receive a 4% cost of living increase for 2024. That would be my recommendation.
It's a little bit more than I'm getting from Social Security, but no, that's okay. I got, I think, 3.4%.
I don't know what I got.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah, it was some gigantic number like that.
Right, right.
And the reason I'm recommending the 4%, again, I took it this off SHRM, which, you know, SHRM is like the leader nationwide, you know, has their finger on the pulse of everything human resource. And I also scoured through emails from the HR Alliance from special district. Some districts are actually giving 5 and 6. We're small. I have to take that into consideration. And I think a 4% increase is appropriate.
Effective when?
It would be January 1st.
Okay. I have no problem with that.
Sherry?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't either, so.
I don't think you need a motion.
No, but we have a general consensus.
Yeah. No, there should be a motion.
Oh, okay.
There
Somebody
should be a
make
motion.
A motion.
Well, why don't you make a motion? I'm tired of making all the motions.
All right. Commissioner Patterson can make it.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that we should update our rate to accommodate the current...
Our cost of living.
Cost of living so that we can keep up with demand.
I'll second that, 4%.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So it is unanimously approved.
Thank you.
Chair report, parliamentary procedures.
Oops. Office space.
Office space.
My little office.
Pardon me.
Gee, Chris, you're the one who asked me to do this, too.
Yeah.
At near the end, or maybe just after the last board meeting, I was complaining mightily about the plastic wrap hanging from the ceilings and what a mess this office was. And Janine has told me that, yeah, she thinks we're going to lose some of our parking spaces down the road when the new owner gets going. Apparently, that may not be so possible because they're required by city code to provide a certain number of spaces, parking spaces for employees here.
Oh.
So that was news to me. Anyway, I said, look, we have one parcel in a residential area that we own. There's plenty of spare space on it. What if we put a small office like this on our own lot?
Yeah, makes sense.
And, you know, there may be good reasons why you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris asked me to pursue that, and so I went to the city planning council, planning office today, actually. I've been out of town, I've been traveling a lot, and spoke to
Daphne Sissel.
Daphne, I love that name. I had a girlfriend named Daphne once, but that was another lifetime ago. what could we do about this? And so she brought up our Old Gate parcel on her map and says, oh, it's zoned R10, I think, which means 10,000 square feet, which sounds about right to me. We don't have more than about 30% lot coverage of the buildings we have there now. And Chris, you want to just read her response to me?
Good morning. Looking at the history of the property, there was
Old Gate Road.
Yeah, this is Old Gate, 4100 Old Gate. There was a land use case in 2011 for a modification of the conditional use permit.
This is news to me.
To add additional building on site. But it looks like it never happened, ? In parentheses, as I do not see any permits in the system for this. But what it tells me is that it may be possible to add an additional building on site for an office, as long as it meets all building requirements for construction and the community development zoning code requirements, setbacks for et cetera, et cetera, as well as conditional use requirements. 2011 case, land use 11-0038, showed that proposed structure was able to meet all the requirements, so I'm not sure why a new proposal would be any difference. Though an office is a conditional allowed use in R10. Of course, you would have to submit for a pre-app to get more detailed information, but that would include a more defined proposal, building size, location on site, design, etc. Daphne Sissel, City of Lake Oswego, Associate Planner.
Okay.
Is there any issue about the parking? It's a pretty good size lot and you can design it.
Oh, yeah.
To accommodate, yeah. I feel like the important part was we don't
want to be intrusive
to the neighbors. We have plenty of room for parking, mm-hmm. so that shouldn't be a problem. But it seems like, look at the hundreds of thousands we've spent.
Well,
I think it's a brilliant idea.
We would need, there's more Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act money out there than what we have gone after for our water line.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't pursued that because this is Larry's brainstorm. Mm-hmm. This is
no, it's a great idea.
I think it's worth pursuing mm-hmm. in a limited way. And I've gone to many of these pre-app meetings where you just have a couple of sketches of here's mm-hmm. what we'd like mm-hmm. to do. RH2 in an hour could generate a footprint,
yeah.
and that's a starting point. And just let the city look at it. And let them tear it apart if they're going to tear it apart. But within half a day, we will know. And that will be out a few hours of RH2's time. I think it's well spent, and I would recommend we do it.
But how do you get around the 100-foot sanitary control zone? If you're going to have an office there,
Janine, we simply need a pre-op meeting lays uh-huh. out the criteria.
Okay.
And then we'll know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All righty.
And the way to get around that is you tight line a sewer line to the sewer, which is probably, is there any sewer line on Oldgate Road?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think there is.
Well, that would be the way to get around your issue there.
Mm-hmm. The sewer would go, because there are a whole bunch of new houses down at the end.
Yeah, right? that one.
They yeah. had to, of course, I don't know whether that comes across the canal to those houses. Or if it comes down,
I thought it Oldgate. Went in the back. It didn't go down Oldgate because Oldgate wasn't torn up.
It's okay. on the east side of the canal because we have several good friends on uh-huh. River Run who their fence line stops where it does because beyond the outside of it is a sewer easement for the city.
Okay.
So I think this is, I'd be happy to work with RH2 mm-hmm. and. Prepare, I wouldn't call it a package, call it a submittal. There'll be an application mm-hmm. fee of $100 or so, and we go let the city tell us their story.
One of the considerations, too, when you had mentioned that, is the fact that we have other nonprofits that meet, like the Neighborhood Association, and so sometimes it's a real struggle trying to find a place to even hold that
It could become
meeting.
A community and center like that.
Exactly. So if we think in terms of broadening a little bit and accessing it for the very people that are going to be paying for this, I just think it would be a good investment.
Let the record show that Commissioner Patterson and I have been absolutely in alignment on every issue
yep.
tonight.
That is amazing, sir.
Call for adjournment. No.
There are miracles, right?
Okay, indeed. So from here.
So the next step is for our general manager to contact RH2. Mm-hmm. He's telling about Larry's brainstorm here.
And from you, Janine, mm-hmm. I think we need to be aware of what you perceive as the needs
mm-hmm.
with the operation and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to make sure, I'm getting with RH2 to draft development proposal for a building, office building?
Not a building proposal.
Oh, I'm so
it's
sorry.
A pre-application.
Okay.
Proposal. And it basically, there'll be two exhibits. There'll be a vicinity map and a site plan.
Got it.
You don't even need a floor plan.
Got
pre-app.
It. Alrighty.
How many square feet do we have here?
750.
Yeah, I think 1,000 square feet would be abundant for what Sherry's talking about.
All right.
We could even have a shower.
We do have a shower.
Do we have a shower?
Yeah, it's important outdoors, to have a shower
yes.
with the type of work.
No, actually, it's enclosed.
I didn't know we had a shower.
It's right on the other side of the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Really? There's a door in the bathroom. That goes back into the area where there's a shower.
And it's important to ask our operators in terms of what they perceive in terms of their operation.
Yeah, well, then you're getting into space planning, and that's the next step.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So our issue again to draft a vicinity map and site map.
For use at a pre-application meeting that they would attend.
I got it.
With at least one board member.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you have
one
level.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Sure.
And of course it has to be ADH, accommodation.
That's just a non-issue.
Got
it's
it.
It's got to be done.
No, I.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, and if you put in a two-story, then you have to.
No, it'd be a one-story.
One-story.
Okay. I'm just.
We got a 10,000 square foot lot. It's maybe 25% occupied right now.
Mm-hmm.
So theoretically, we have lots of room.
Mm-hmm.
It just needs to be doodled around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, the planner said that there may be a noise issue with your trucks. I didn't respond to her. There won't be a noise issue because our trucks are using the same facility now.
Yeah.
Well, that's why
it's not a change of use.
Helpful to ask our adjacent neighbors, you know, any issues that they get their input.
I would be prepared for some major blowback.
Well,
it's Lake Oswego. I'd be surprised. I'd be disappointed if we didn't get some blowback.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that anytime you are bringing potentially more traffic in, even though it's not a great deal more, people may be concerned.
I think the legal term is de minimis.
Yeah.
It can be defined, but it's minimal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we need to think about all of that in the back of our little brains.
And the drop box is very popular, mm-hmm. and you're not going to stick a drop box out on Old Gate Road without security.
Yeah.
This is a little bit more secure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so where, excuse me, are people going to drop their payments? You're not going to have them pull into the well site. We'll keep an open mind. And
there's ways around everything.
Exactly.
There's
no deal killers that I'm aware of.
You can create a Fort Knox around the critical.
Yep. Alrighty.
Okay.
I'm on it.
Parliamentary procedures and customer relations. I think we've kind of beaten them to death.
Well, what about parliamentary procedures, Madam Chair?
Our parliamentary procedures are
point of order.
Yeah.
I second that.
No, you
Chris,
so
take control
chaos,
of the meeting
my
again,
dear,
please.
The chaos.
All right.
So that's why Chair Roth, I had talked to her. So when I was transcribing the minutes, we have to make sure that we don't keep saying point of order. Point of order is the highest objection you can make, and it has to be made when you're actually objecting to something going on at the meeting. And so I think people got confused on that. And so after the discussion between Commissioner Howell and I, everybody was using point of order when they actually meant to say, you know, Chair, may I interject? Or may I, you know, may I make a statement? So you just have to be careful of that. So if you'll look at the minutes that I transcribed, I didn't put the point of orders in because there was nothing illegal or anything that was objectionable that was going on. So that's what we just wanted to clarify.
Okay.
You never should ever use point of order unless there's significantly something you're objecting to that is against parliamentary procedures. So it's just a little housekeeping tidbit.
Yeah. And on this office space thing, I don't know if that dog's going to hunt or not, you know, but if we don't go through a process, we're never
going to. Worth exploring.
Yeah. And if we did that, I could walk to meetings.
Yeah.
That's true. You could. And you and I could if we were willing to board the canal.
Sure,
yeah, you go in the back way, go through the woods.
Yeah. I'm not sure I want to do that in the dark. Okay. So we have dealt with that. Customer relations. I think we've kind of beaten that horse.
Yeah, we were just going to talk about the customer that threatened the job.
Oh.
Threatened who? What?
we had an incident last week where a customer came out of her house when one of our trucks had pulled up, and she yelled at him in an abusive manner using the F word several times about how she objected to the volume on his radio and it was waking everybody up. And this was
7:45 in the morning.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not exactly driving by at 2:00 in the morning. This is all very difficult for me, since I know both of the parties involved. It sounds as though from our staff person's comments that he immediately turned the radio down. He apologized to her, and she then was abusive again and said, "When I get on the board, I'll have your job." And that was that.
When I get on the board?
Yeah.
Say again.
When I get on the board, I'll have your job, meaning I'll take it away from you.
Watch out, Sherry. Sounds like she wants your job.
So,
That's sad.
Yeah.
Oh, fuss and feathers.
That's not the way our employees deserve to be treated. Ever.
And well, when you're interacting with the public, you never know.
Yeah.
No.
I had stuff like that happen to me when I worked at the Corps of Engineers. It's like they consider me to be their engineer.
Yeah. So I am debating over whether or not that's worth a phone call or a letter or whatever. But I want it to be made perfectly clear that that is not acceptable.
I would think a letter, get on the record.
Okay.
Janine, you got to draft the other letter now. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, if you know this party, out of courtesy, it would be nice to knock on her door and vis-a-vis communication. You never know if, you know, sometimes people just have a bad day. And I would like to try and minimize the response and try to give her some accommodation. And but as long as you inform her that our employee was upset and that our employees work very hard and we're here to not only protect our customers' well-being with their water, but we have dynamic, wonderful employees, and they are not to be abused. And so, and if you're uncomfortable saying any of these things, I'd be happy to knock on the door and communicate. I would just like to see if it can be resolved verbally, more casually, than to create this paper trail.
Well, here's the problem with that approach. And I teach ethics. I think last week I was at Brigham Young University talking to 140 undergraduates about ASCE's code of ethics. There's a third party involved here. If it was just somebody chewing you out or chewing you out, fine. Go knock on the door and have a conversation. But they vented on our employee. That's a third person. It's the appropriate response is to raise the response one level. Say, because you've chosen to involve our staff person, we're putting this in writing.
So yeah, okay. Just, I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. Just, you know, knocking on a door. Hey, are you nuts or something? You know that.
But you can write the letter and hand deliver it.
Of course.
You know,
But then the employee gets to see the letter, too.
Oh,
and I think
of course.
That's really important.
Oh, absolutely.
That employee is still an employee.
It's important to have the employee input because are they comfortable with this type of response? They're the ones who experience the negativity. So yeah. I would like their own input. Maybe they have a better suggestion.
Well, nothing's going to happen much until the employee is back in the district working, or however that turns out. Mm-hmm. So, nothing else as far as I am concerned.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, I move we adjourn.
Is there a second?
A second.
We are adjourned at 5:35.
Chris.